just wizardry. I mean, this guy is just a wizard in terms of like the play calls that they had on that final drive were just ridiculous. And it's like, of course, Mahomes had to make the plays, but my goodness, some of those plays were just, and we saw it, like, just wide open. They got exactly what they wanted. All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Double, with me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan, here to talk about the Super Bowl. And what a Super Bowl it was. Going to overtime, the Chiefs get the win, 25-22. You can tell my voice is not exactly the same. No, it wasn't because I was out partying with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and Blake Lively and everybody else that we saw on screen there at the Super Bowl following the victory. For the Chiefs, they've done it, Dylan, back-to-back Super Bowls. Everybody wants to talk about the dynasty. We like to skip ahead, but let's just focus on this game for now, because this was, you know, in and of itself, kind of a year worth of storylines based on just kind of the way this game played out. And it was kind of fascinating to see. And there were so many things, like you and I were talking about, just so many things that you can kind of look at throughout the course of not just, you know, the game as a whole, but really the fourth quarter, the overtime. Like there's so many different possessions you can look at and try to figure out, man, that was kind of the play that took them to this play. And all, like, there was just so many of those moments in this game.
My initial reaction was like, I know so many Niner fans and I'm like, I feel so bad for them. Yeah. Like that was just the amount of things that, like you're saying, the amount of one play here or there that could have been a difference. The, you know, the late third down with after the 2 minute warning, get a first down there, basically be able to run the clock out. I'm assuming Jake Moody, who had a pretty good game. I know the extra point, we'll talk about that, but overall hitting a couple 50 yarders, you would have taken that if you're a Niner fan going into this one. But yeah, it was everything that, like, in terms of, I mean, the Niner defense stepped up, in my opinion. You know, obviously late in the game, they got a little tired, but this is a defense that hadn't been playing great. And for that first half, it was dominance, right? Like, we'd seen the Chiefs kind of struggle in the second half against the Ravens, and it looked like it was continuing. And I kept saying the whole time, they're only up seven. They're only up, or sorry, three. They're only up 10. They're only up seven at the half. And it's like, the Chiefs kind of just stick around. They do not die. And that's kind of been the story of, like you're saying, all the storylines of a season long in one game. This was the Chiefs this year. It's a defense that has really, in my opinion, and it's, I know after the game, Andy Reid made a point to shout them out, but they really were the standouts. The plays that Trent McDuffie made, obviously that same exact third down off the 2 minute warning stands out. But I mean, he had the one hold in overtime, but overall fantastic game. Chris Jones, crucial plays when they needed it, when guys are breaking open, when they're, Steve Spagnuolo's dialing up once again, Spags just doing his thing as he always does. Yeah. But I mean, they just kept him in it. And obviously I'm not trying to not talk about Mahomes and what he did. And obviously the overtime and even down the stretch of the second half, so many crucial plays, the last drive to get in the field goal range, obviously the touchdown in overtime. But it, for me, it was just they provided the opportunity. Without them, this is, you know, we're talking about a team that, you know, when they lost the Super Bowl, obviously the offensive line was kind of a storyline against the Bucs, but really their defense also didn't, you know, hold up the same way. This unit, how they've been able to build that is a credit to the whole team. And, you know, you just give Mahomes enough chances and he's going to figure it out and make some plays. And I mean, yeah, we can talk about Mahomes in a sec, but just the poor Niner fans. Again, that's my first kind of thing. I'm like, you're so close. It's like, I really, even though, you know, I'm a Rams fan, but I feel for any fan base that has, you know, there's a difference between not even getting there and kind of that kind of pain, but getting close over and over and not winning and just feeling like, yeah, especially in this one, in my opinion, there are so many moments where one play, it's over, they win. And just you couldn't stop Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes at the end. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy ending, but like, it was an interesting game though. First half, the defenses were kind of the story, right? Like, it was not, there was a point where my wife Nellie's like, is this the Rams Patriots Super Bowl all over again? Felt like that for a second there.
Yeah, it did initially. And I think everybody's like, oh, what's going on here? Like, oh, it's gonna be high scoring. Like, look at these two teams offensively. Look, but we said going into it, like,
yep,
the storyline, you know, the Chiefs defense, for whatever reason, just, you know, has not gotten enough of, like, yes, they've not maybe been as good offensively at times and all that, but the reason they're here is because even when they haven't been, the defense has been able to make up for it. And that's kind of what we saw here. I mean, again, there's so many different plays we could go after here. But I just think of how, you know, how much different potentially that final drive is for the Chiefs if, you know, they don't find a way to stop the Niners. Because, I mean, look, I felt, I was like, the Niners are about, they're going to score. Like, it's going to score a touchdown. Like, I'm like, they're not going to, they had all the momentum because after, what was it, the, was it the penalty on McDuffie? Is that the one that extended the drive or what was, for the Niners? It was like, it was in overtime. They had the drive going. It was a third down. There was a penalty on someone who was holding, defensive holding.
It was on McDuffie, yep.
Yeah, right. And so, like, you think about how big of a break that is, like you said. And then, you know, you go all the way back down and like, okay, they're driving now. They're making huge plays. They're going to score a touchdown here. And then all, I mean, the pressure was still on the Chiefs. We knew they had to score. But just think about, again, kind of the different dynamic that is where – you know you can get a field goal and extend the game versus you have to score a touchdown. Like, that's just completely different. I think Romo brought that up, of how different maybe you organize that final drive if it's the other way around. And so, yeah, like, it's just, it's stuff like that where every time you thought the Niners had a chance to sort of pull away and maybe make that breakthrough play that was going to send them, you know, just to the point where you're like, I don't even know if Patrick Mahomes can do this, right? And it just never happened. Like you said, I mean, they got up 10-0. Chiefs get a field goal for the end, or, you know, second quarter right before halftime. And it's like, oh, it just, you felt like the opportunities were there. And they just, you know, then it's like, and you almost knew, right? Like, when the extra point got blocked, I mean, you almost knew at that point. You're like, okay, something's like, something's going to happen here. Like, it's just not, that's one that you're going to look back on, fourth quarter, Super Bowl. And ultimately, it did, because, it, like I said, I mean, think about how different that changes the approach for the Chiefs if that extra point is made and how the rest of the game plays out. But didn't happen that way. And, yeah, I mean, we'll stop there for now. But there's something else I want to bring up about Andy Reid on that final drive, because it's like, I mean, I said the word to somebody last night. I'm like, ridiculous. And it's like, of course, Mahomes had to make the plays, but my goodness, some of those plays were just, and we saw it, like, just wide open. They got exactly what they wanted, whether it was the, what was it, the fourth down, where Mahomes does the goes around the end, he, you know, gets the first down on his own, and then even the final play where it's just, you know, they were doing the, I know the play on the screen, everything kind of showing how you get one guy going this way and then boom, like, there's no one over there, Hardman catches it. Just ridiculous stuff.
The crucial plays the Chiefs made, the Niners didn't. And I think that's, I mean, you're shouting out that when they have the ball, but same thing on the other side, the plays that could have ended it or at least made it a different game, obviously the extra point, like you mentioned, but that fourth down, or sorry, the third down in overtime in the red zone where the Niners have to settle for the field goal, the one at the end of, at the 2 minute warning. And then, when the Chiefs need it, they got them. I mean, it's the story of the Chiefs against the Ravens too. The forced fumble on the, what should have been the touchdown by Zay Flowers, every like critical moment they were ready. And I don't know if it's just the experience, but I think it's also just the talent of this defense, because they're a pretty young, for as talented as the Chiefs defense is, they have a lot of young guys. But you mentioned that, the wizardry of Andy Reid, that when they need the need, got to have it calls, he was making them. And it just, they weren't the same. Brock didn't have the same, I'm going to have either option A or B. One of them's going to be open, right? Like, but you talk about the fourth down with Mahomes. There's, if the guy sticks with him, he's just going to pop it to Kelsey. He's able to just kind of keep with it. It can't guard two guys. And then in obviously the same thing we saw in last year's Super Bowl, where they have the, you know, the motion inside and then the basically the pivot back out on the game winning touchdown. They kept it the whole game. We'd seen it for two really crucial scores against the Eagles. Didn't run it this entire game, and then when they need it at the end, there it is, wide open. I did like how aggressive they were. Not, I thought it might, you know, they might call a timeout there, might try to get to the second overtime period, as we were talking about. Wasn't sure if that was a thing, but yeah, it was kind of crazy. But yeah, they, like you said, Andy Reid, man, and Patrick Mahomes. It's just those two together. You can't let them stay in it, and that's, I, you know, I, haven't listened to all the post-game comments from Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure, you know, not it's always – it's not a fun thing talking about any Super Bowl loss, but losing in this fashion, especially with his history of losses in these games, I'm sure it was brutal. But if he's – you know, when he starts looking back at this game, it's got to be all the chances that you mentioned that they had earlier in the game to kind of separate the score a bit. And they're just going to do it. They kept – I mean, both teams settled for a lot of field goals to the credits of the defenses, but – the Niners, you're up 10-0, and it never felt like it was ever, you know, and it never felt like it was that far off for the Chiefs. And suddenly, obviously, you have that really bad break on the punt where it hits the ankle of the guy blocking, and they score a touchdown right after. But when that happens, you know, they didn't go to commercial break after the turnover. It happens one play, boom, touchdown. You're like, the Chiefs are winning this game. So psychologically, even if you think you're outplaying them, which they were for the entire first half, psychologically, as soon as that happens, it's like, this is going to be a battle. And it's just there's like four or five plays, and like every single one, like if the Niners make one of them, they probably win. And they didn't do it. And that's the magic of this Chiefs team. That's the kind of the nature of them. The whole year, they didn't look like the Super Bowl champions that they were the year before. Some of the past iterations of the team, very different team with who they had and overall how the offense operated. But you still got Mahomes, and still got Andy Reid, and yeah, in that last drive, you finally see it all kind of come to fruition. All the crucial third downs. They had that weird play where they lost. You know, the forward progress went like backwards, and they're like, all right. One moment, this is kind of devastating. Next thing you know, we got it down to like 3rd and 7. Rashid Rice is going to be there. Rashid played fantastic. I mean, the whole fourth quarter and overtime, just and absolutely.
He was wide open on that. What was the play where he tried to go to Kelsey? And I mean, if he'd hit him, the game was over right there. And it's just like, he was fantastic. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it was, we've seen him all year improve, but it was almost kind of, we've seen some Super Bowls that are like dichotomies of the, kind of like sum up the team season. Like the Rams Super Bowl started out hot, and obviously I'm always going to talk about the Rams Super Bowl after Super Bowl Sunday. It started out hot, the game, you know, and just like they did that whole season. Then they had the really tough stretch in the middle there, and then they, you know, Stafford and those guys figured it out. This game too for the Chiefs, that did not start out the way on offense that it always, you know, we've seen it, gotten used to in the Super Bowls with them. Next thing you know, they kind of figure it out late in the game. The defense is doing their thing, and then Rashid Rice for him. Kind of overall just a slow first half for that offense. And then these guys that have made big strides all year come up clutch. And obviously Kelsey's ends up after a really, you know, 1 yard and one reception. They kept talking about that at halftime, ends up having a really big second half. I mean, these guys just keep going, keep making plays, but it's really not, it's, you know, there's not the number of playmakers the Niners have on their end, but to their credit, Pacheco, I mean, Mecole Hardman, obviously the game winning touchdown, but some, you know, obviously made that really long catch early in the game, but the guys just step up. They just find a way with all their tight ends and all their motions and everything. It's just, man, the Chiefs do not die. And it was just a classic example of that. And man, as much as we talked about the quarterback difference, and I think Brock played a good game. I don't think, again, there weren't a lot of situations like some games where it's like, what QB is going to make this play? But looking back at it, I think the difference wasn't so much just obviously Mahomes and Purdy is who he is, but it was the answers that on a lot of those crucial calls, there were Mahomes had the ability to run or pass or have the optionality of it. It was there when they needed it. And to Spagnuolo's credit, in those moments for Brock, it wasn't so much that Brock made a mistake. It was just pressure's in your face. And he really didn't have a chance to kind of make some plays when guys are getting open, that they got the pressure when they needed to. And I mean, that's a credit to a good scheme and a team that just keeps finding a way to win. And it's crazy, man.
Yeah, it was kind of the season long thing of, it's like, well, who's gonna step up outside of Travis Kelce? And it literally everyone stepped up on the final drive. Like it was you know, pretty much everyone. I mean, even I thought it was even like the little thing of right after Valdes-Scantling gets the loss for 3 yards after he could have had, you know, whatever, 8 yards or something, he goes right back to him on the next play. And, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, I'm not going back to that guy. He just, you know, what is he doing? He just lost us 3 yards in the Super Bowl. This could be the reason we lose the game. Went right back to him. Great read. Like, And they kept doing that. Even Pacheco, like, he didn't have any huge plays necessarily, but it's just he gave them some yards on that drive, like the yards they needed, a couple plays here or there. And you mentioned Rice and, yeah, and then Hardman. Like, I'm thinking back, I'm like, yeah, like, we were watching Mecole Hardman, what, 6 months ago on Hard Knocks, like, with the Jets, and like, hey, okay, he's going to be someone there. And Ryan, then think about, like, where he's at now. He just caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs. And, like, what a story. Like, it comes full circle for him all the way back and catches the game-winner. So, yeah, but, like, on the other side, I'm not going to lie to you, like, you know, we were doing our Super Bowl MVP and, like, you know, long shots and all that. I mean, I'm like, man, what were Juwan Jennings, like, what was his odds? Like, they had to be just – because I'm like, he's going to get this thing if the Niners win. I'm like, he's thrown a touchdown pass. He's caught a touchdown pass, a crucial one. Like, this guy might end up getting it. And, you know, I don't know if that would have happened, but for a time there, I'm thinking – because McCaffrey ended up racking up some pretty good yards.
Probably would have been Christian, yeah.
Yeah, because he had 160 total, 80 each rushing and receiving. But, yeah, I mean, so it was. It was like – I felt like – it's almost like one of those games where it's like, someone said this lesson. I don't remember who. I think it may have been Bill Cowher, who said, you know, the 49ers didn't lose the game. The Chiefs won the game. Like, and I think that's kind of what it comes down to. It was the Chiefs just, sure, the Niners had a couple of those missed opportunities, but like they weren't those that just felt like they were bad plays necessarily outside of, like you said, whether it was the special teams one, yeah. Even the block kick. I mean, sure, could Moody have gotten it a little higher? Yes, but like, still, it's hard just to blame that one thing, but it's just they just got, you know, the scheme, like you said, of the Chiefs defensively down the stretch, Patrick Mahomes doing his thing, Andy Reid doing his thing, and it just all combined into giving the Chiefs win. Now, the one thing, I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but the decision, you know, everybody's making a big deal about the decision for Kyle Shanahan to take the ball in overtime. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is one that he's probably going to hear about for a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know.
Before the season, I don't know if we really talked about it on here, but as soon as that rule change kind of went through, in my mind, it's you're going on defense. And I think the reason he didn't isn't so much in his mind, he talked about it after the game a little bit, did see those comments where, in his mind, it's like, if we score a touchdown, they score a touchdown, now we get the ball and we win, right? But the problem is, if you score a touchdown first and you go on deep, you know, the ball back, obviously, same way the Chiefs did just now in this game, they knew on fourth down they're going to have to go for it, which is a big advantage, in my opinion, in terms of the play calling and just overall the mindset you're going to have. And two, if you score a touchdown, you're probably going for two to win it. I mean, like, you're not giving the team the ball back in that situation. I think the reason he took the ball, though, had to do with the way the game was going down the stretch. I think his defense was really top gassed. I think it partially was he was factoring in that more than he maybe should have in terms of the tactical reasons that I'm like, if you get a three and out, which they, outside of that penalty, had, now the Chiefs just need a field goal to win, right? And it's for a number of reasons, I think with the new rule, you just got to go on defense. And played out exactly that way. Obviously, they went down the field after that penalty, but as soon as they, like you said, as soon as they had to settle for that field goal, you're like, well, Mahomes has the ball with a chance to score a touchdown to win the Super Bowl. Good luck. This is a guy that is, you know, and yeah, you're giving Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes four plays for 10 yards at a time. And it's like, all right, like there's some moments where the Niners had some crucial stops that forced punts from the Chiefs earlier in the game. And they got to like fourth and short and just couldn't do it. But in that spot, obviously you got to, and it's like, oh, man, I didn't, like, in the moment, I'm not, like, I couldn't help, like, just saying, I'm like, how did they, wait, they're taking, like, they won the toss and they're taking the ball. It's like, these are not the old rules. It's almost, it's different than college, but it reminds me a little bit more now of that, in terms of just, it's better to see what the other team does, know what you need at least. And it played out exactly that way. That decision, obviously, I mean, maybe this defense got a little more well-rested, but didn't help. It didn't help stopping them. So I would have liked to at least seen what the Chiefs would have done if they had the ball first. It just completely changes the calculus. Maybe they have to punt, and now you just need a field goal to win. So that decision will definitely, it's one that, I mean, we hadn't seen it all play, like they said, you know, we hadn't seen it all playoffs. Was wondering if it would happen. We didn't have an overtime game. And then sure enough, in the biggest, you know, the fact we only have our second Super Bowl ever going to overtime, and with the new rule, it's like I know Mahomes. Some people sometimes think he's a little too petty, but I enjoyed some of his comments after the game talking about them changing the rule. And he's like, "What are they going to change it to this time?" This show was sponsored by BetterHelp. One of the relationships I'm proudest of is with my older brother. He taught me how to put others before myself, which has not only strengthened our own relationship, but relationships throughout my life. A common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. But that's not true at all. The best relationships are the ones where both parties put in the work to make it great. Oftentimes, we have a hard time navigating through tough moments, and that's perfectly fine. Good news is that we have access to therapy as a safe space to work through the challenges we face in all of our relationships. Relationships can be compared to football in many ways. Both involve teamwork, communication, strategy, and goals. Just like a football team needs to practice and train together, working on relationship skills and habits can make all of the difference. Sometimes a coach or a therapist can help them improve their performance and overcome challenges. They can also provide feedback, encouragement, and guidance. Therapy is not a sign of weakness or failure, but a way of enhancing and strengthening the bond between partners, friends, and family members. If you're thinking of starting therapy today, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and very accessible. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/thepass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thepass.
He and I think I turned over to ESPN and Berman and Booger up there, and like, you know, all of a sudden Mahomes and Kelce come up, and like they were just full on, like both of them. With, I mean, you know, you're thinking, all right, you know, because I think, I don't remember if it was before or after, but I think it was, I don't know, it was Rice and Jones or Pacheco and Jones, and like they're just very, you know, okay, like they didn't really, they're just sitting there, and you know, they didn't have a lot to say, being very, you know, proper, I guess you could say. And like, then here's Mahomes and Kelce, and they're both just up there. They don't care. Like, they're just saying whatever they want to say, and they're just letting it fly. Kelce the whole time just antagonizing everybody. And yeah, like, I think he's fully embraced being, you know, being the heel of the group. Like, just, you know, with the Taylor Swift stuff, and you can tell, like, he's just fully embraced it. So, and I'm sure he'll have something to say about everyone's comments on, you know, him and Andy Reid's thing in the game and all that. But yeah, so it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at ESPN. So the win probability percentage, the Niners had an 87.7% chance to win with 6:29 left in overtime. That was where the Chiefs had a 3rd-and-1. And then it became 4th-and-1 where Pacheco did not get the first down. So it goes to 4th down. So at that point, the Niners had an 87.7% chance to win, according to their analytics. And then whenever Mahomes got the first down, it drops 20% to 67.5%. And then, like, from there, it went back up to 77.3% when it was 3rd-and-6. And then that's when, again, he got the pass to Rice. Yep. And from there, it, like, just boom, all the way to the Chiefs. And so, oh, man, like you said, 49ers fans, I don't even know what to say. Like, it was one where you felt like they were controlling the game, but because of what you mentioned a minute ago, they can never pull away. And if you can't do that, you just – I mean, look, there were times, like, even on that final drive, I'm like, I just don't know if the Chiefs can pull this out. But, of course, they made one of those plays, you know, 3rd-and-1, like, all right. Well, as soon as they made that 4th down and Mahomes goes off tackle there, I'm like, uh-oh. Like, Niners are in trouble. Like, they're going to score a touchdown here. So, yeah, what a game. And, boy, it's, you know, as you look ahead, obviously, as we said, everybody's going to talk about the three-peat and all this other stuff. But, I mean, you know, I mean, the Chris Jones thing, I mean, we'll get more into the offseason, all that. But, obviously, that's going to be a big, you know, one this offseason. And I'm sure, like, for the Niners, I don't, who are the ones, I don't know why I can't think of who the free agents are for the Niners, the ones that will be, I know Schefter put out a list of it last night, but of course we know Chris Jones is the big one for the Chiefs, but I'm trying to remember who all it was for the Niners.
I don't think it's as costly of a player as Juwan Jennings, Chase Young, Ray McLeod. I mean, Ken Law is a big one. There's some guys on here, Tashaun Gibson, but it's not a, no one obviously as impactful as the Chris Jones, but yeah.
So I think the, who was it? The Niners opened as the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. Of course, we always get after the Super Bowl. Chiefs were second. Yeah. I think, I don't know if it's the Bills were third or the Ravens third.
They were close.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think you had like the Lions, the Bengals, and all those teams. So it'll be interesting to see the offseason for both these teams. Like we said, I'm curious to see what the Chiefs do in terms of, you know, everybody said they couldn't win with this group in terms of the weapons around Mahomes. They did. So, like, does that give them more incentive just to say, hey, if we have to replace a Chris Jones, like, we got to go out and spend that money there and be fine with it because we've seen that our defense can carry us. And then for the Niners, gosh, it's like the Niners don't need any more offensive weapons. Like, I mean, they're loaded everywhere. So it's like, what do the Niners really need? I mean, I don't even know what you would say right now.
I mean, I understand why they're the favorite just because the NFC, even with the way the Lions obviously challenged them, the Packers coming up, it's still not the AFC in terms of the quarterback. So that makes sense. But it still brings me – I still think of now with the Niners what Dan Campbell just said about the Lions. It's not – you know, you get here, you got it. It's never no guarantee you're going to be back. And it's thing about the Niners a few years ago when they lost to the Chiefs, you did feel like, even though obviously Garoppolo was one part of it, but just the core they had, you're like, all right, this group's going to be here for a sec. Now, yes, they're still going to be here, but it is the NFL. You can't just stay like a core of some other sports where, you know, you're going to have like 10 years of groups together, like the way the salary cap works, the way the sport works, how brutal it is. There's injuries that have happened to the Bosa and different guys. Like they had all their big, you know, all their big players were in this game and healthy enough until obviously the Drake Greenlaw injury is terrible. And I mean, the omens that were from the McCaffrey fumble to that and like the things that were happening, you had that kind of just spooky feel at times for the 49ers, but these are the reasons you got to capitalize when you have a chance. And I think that's the 49ers. Yeah. There's a reason they're the betting favorite coming back. They're still going to be really good, but I do think some teams in their conference are getting better and they're not getting younger. And I think other times I have maybe not looked as far into like the mental side of some of these brutal losses the Niners have had, but I mean, they've been to like 7 championship games going back before Shanahan in the last however many years, like 12, 13 years, and they've won only 3 of those 7, and then they've lost all these Super Bowls by a combined like 17 points, and it's just it becomes like taxing almost to a certain extent. You just haven't been able to get over the hump. I think they're still going to be a great team. I just think that the competition and the NFC is about to level up a bit, and even if you do get through it, we see what happens. You have an alien on the other team that just what he's like 9-2 when down by 10 points or something like ridiculous, or in the play, like it's ridiculous stats. He's now, Mahomes won 3 Super Bowls. He's only lost 4 games in his career by multiple scores. Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing? Like it's absolutely absurd. And that's the thing for the night. Like there's a reason that the Niners tried to, after the last time they lost Super Bowl a couple of years later, they did the trade to get Trey Lance and it didn't work out. But I think they realized like we might need our own alien to beat Mahomes. And that's, we've seen, you know, Joe Burrow beat him in the playoffs. We've seen Tom Brady beat him in the playoffs. That's it. Outside of these guys. And we've seen even another quote unquote alien in Josh Allen has come close, but hasn't quite done it. It's just, it's got to be a little deflating for other teams. Yeah. In the AFC looking at this, you know, I still think there's a lot of good challengers that definitely can beat them. But man, it's, you thought this was a down year and they still found a way to win it. So yeah, the three-peat convo, that'll be a fun one. I don't think the Niners are going to be thinking about that for a little bit, or sorry, the Chiefs are going to be thinking about that for a little bit. They're going to be just thinking about hanging out, enjoying this one. But man, it was like the terms of like legacies and stuff. Like I was trying to, in the first half, again, it was kind of a slow burn. And then next thing you know, it became like, oh, this is going to be a game we remember forever. And it's going to have really like major, you know, ripple effects on, you know, with Mahomes completing his first, you know, we'll see if he has another mid-career gap like Brady did. Obviously made a couple Super Bowls, but didn't win for 10 years. I don't know if I'm betting on that. I don't think I'm going to bet against the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl the next 10 years. I'll say they'll probably do that. But on the flip side for the Niners, like so close so many times, and now you got the Rock And Wes Seed always talks, does, you know, does the whole metaphor about the rock going down the hill and having to slowly push it back up. Yeah. That's going to, I mean, that's going to be a storyline going into the season. How, for me, and not even just the regular season, but going into the playoffs too, because I think the Niners will obviously get there. It's how mentally strong are you going to be to come back from this? And that if the, you know, if they win the Super Bowl next year, and that's the thing about the odds too. We obviously don't see a lot of teams that lose Super Bowls get back, let alone win it. That would say something about who they are. And I don't think they're not capable of it, but man, it's going to be a tough few weeks here. Go on vacation, go get some sun for these guys. Like, you need to take some time away from it. I think if you're the 49ers, look ahead to baseball season, like you and I.
Yeah, there you go. That's, you can do that. Although the Giants there, if you're a fan of another San Francisco team, you're probably thinking what might have been also on the baseball front.
There's a number of Niner fans here in LA. We got our. It's an interesting combo. I can't understand it, but there are a number of Dodger and Niner fans. So at least they have Dodgers for those folks.
If not, they can switch from the Giants to the Dodgers and probably be okay with that. So, if you look at FanDuel right now, if you're going to bet on the Niners, I would say now is not the time to do that. Do not bet on them just yet, because you're probably going to get better odds somewhere along the way, because they're plus 500 right now as the favorite for next year to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs plus 650, Ravens plus 900, Lions plus 1200. So Lions fourth, tied with the Bills there. Also plus 1200, Bengals plus 1500. I think that's an interesting one. Cowboys plus 1500, Eagles plus 1700, Dolphins plus 2000. So those are top nine teams there. Looking at it there, if you want to know who's last, well, that's the Panthers, Giants, and Titans. Giants and Titans also down there. My goodness, Titans. Oh, boy. Total rebuild, seems like, for the Titans at this point. If they're third from the bottom. Patriots are fourth from the bottom. So you want to talk about another fan base that's trying to figure out the direction. That's a starting over as well. All right, Dylan, we're going to end on this. Your prediction. Adam Schefter put the tweet out last night. Chiefs are going to kick off the 2024 NFL season at home against one of these eight teams. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we're eliminating the Saints and the Bucs, because it's not going to be the Saints or the Bucs. There's no way that I think that they're picking one of those two teams. And that's nothing against the Bucs. I just don't think that's appealing enough. If Brady was still there, yes, maybe. But I think we can eliminate those two. I don't see it being one of those two teams unless logistically there's no other choice. So if we take it down to these six teams, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, Texans, Ravens, Bengals. Now, one theory is you go with the obvious one, right, which is the Ravens, I think, in this spot. But you also know, and someone pointed this out, I think it's a great choice, but it's like everybody's watching on night one. So you don't really need necessarily the biggest game to put on night one because you need that somewhere else in the NFL schedule if you're, you know, there's other things going on or whatever. So that's why I don't think it's going to be the Ravens. I think they'll save that for somewhere else along the way. I think the Texans is an interesting one because you've got CJ Stroud and kind of the bounce back there. But I also think the Chargers one. Or the Raiders one. The Chargers one because of Harbaugh. The Raiders for the fact that the Raiders were the team that seemingly set the Chiefs in this direction after beating them on Christmas. And then what did the Chiefs do? They go and win the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. So I could see them tying that in. So I'm going to give you my top three: Chargers, Raiders, Texans. I don't think it's going to be the Ravens. I think they'll save that one.
I agree. I think we'll save that one. I think we'll save the Bengals one too. Maybe not. I'd say Ravens maybe is like a mid to late season game. I think Bengals will be like the first 3 or 4 weeks, but yeah. I am with you. The Chargers were one that immediately I'm like, the Harbaugh, like you said, they don't need to save that one, but obviously they played twice, and having that matchup in the first game with him coming in could be a lot of fun. The Raiders, yeah. I mean, good. One that I maybe wouldn't think, but potentially could make sense. Obviously them winning, like you just said, in their stadium. I didn't fact check this, but I saw someone post that the Mahomes and Reed have won more games in Allegiant Stadium than any Raider QB and coach combo, which is not that surprising because there's been a lot of different coaches over the few years they've been in Allegiant, and then also a number of QBs. But yeah, those I think the Texans are the one, like you just said, though. That's the one that they could save that one, but there's something about the storyline of what that team did, and is Stroud going to be the guy that can knock Mahomes off? And is he the next chosen one along with Patty? So I think Texans and Chargers are my top two in some order. The Bengals, like I said, I do think that one at least could be considered, but I see it more of like a Sunday night football or Monday night football week three or four. Whereas like you said, the first game, everyone's watching regardless, but you know, if I had to, if I don't know if there were, we'd need some odds on it. I would say the Chargers. I would say I'll put that on that one. I think the storylines with Harbaugh and Herbert and that team, and they're one that like you said, everyone's gonna be watching anyway, and they'd be watching that game regardless. But I think that's a fun storyline. So yeah, that we're already. This is very much what we do here on this podcast. Well, the day after the Super Bowl, we're already looking ahead to the schedule release and the week one matchups. I think it's usually in May, so not too far off till we'll get the we'll find out. But I think sometimes announce that first game a little earlier, right? So maybe we'll find out before that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's they could easily push the storyline. Like, all right, the Chiefs, the three-peat, like, who's going to be is it the Chargers, like this Harbaugh Herbert connection? Like, are they going to be the ones that, you know, dethrone the Chiefs from prevent the three-peat, all this other stuff? So they could definitely play that, because the Chiefs played the Lions this past year, right? That was game one.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of got the up and coming team. So like, I could see the Texans being in that Lions spot this year as the opening game. You've got the up and coming, you know, kind of team on the rise, but I think the Chargers are the most intriguing one, if it's not the other obvious ones, which we think they're going to save for later. If it's, I got nothing against the Saints, but if it's Chiefs versus Saints, I don't know what they must have had a lot of scheduling things to do that. So I don't see that happening. But you know, Bucks at
doubling down on that. What you said about anyone people watching regardless. They're like, let's throw the Saints.
They may. Again, nothing against the Saints, but that's just a team that, you know, did not make the playoffs. And just don't seem to be in the spot they were several years ago.
Their fans will tell you that too. They're not exactly happy not with the situation.
Not at all. So we'll go with the Chargers as our pick, but we'll see what happens there for now. But of course, Dylan, lots of reaction to the Super Bowl over at Clutch Points. Let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, and go to the Clutch Points app to our NFL section there. Lots of, even though obviously no more games, but tons of coverage leading up to the draft, tons of free agency, everything that we were talking about with the pending free agents, going over the best guys that teams need to re-sign, need to bring in from outside, all that stuff in the Clutch Points app, the NFL section, also clutchpoints.com in our NFL section there. Sure, we'll have a mock draft probably coming out. We've already had a couple, one coming out soon. We'll probably be talking about draft stuff coming up, obviously free agency just a month away. So yeah, the season just ended, but it really churns until late April. After the draft, we still have a lot of stuff to get through over the next couple months. So a busy time for the NFL.
Yep, check it all out there at Clutch Points. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Stabs the Pass. And thanks as always for listening to this podcast. And talk to you next time. You're on Stabs the Pass.